Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 16th of April, Friday, 7:05 in the morning, and news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Jared's here with the weather.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Currently 51 degrees here in town. Today we're going to be, it's going to be sunny and clear with a high of 82, a low of 53. On Saturday, sunny and clear with a high of 84, a low of 53. Sunday we get up to 90 with a, it's going to be sunny and clear with a low of 54. And on Monday it's going to be 90 as well with a low of 56.
Is it time to bring out the Redding tuxedo yet?
The Redding.
That's a Hawaiian shirt with shorts and flip-flops.
I was tempted to wear a Hawaiian shirt here soon.
Yeah, it will be. Probably starting next week, get back into those, yeah. You know what else, too, is, you see them everywhere. But good morning, everybody. So many things happening, but we're going to start off with Haven Humane, and Jim's on the other line. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're sitting here lonely, man.
I know. Hey, you know what? I got my second vaccination yesterday. Amy has hers, I think, so it won't be too long before we're back to in-studio stuff. I'll let you know as soon as we're ready.
Well, we're ready.
I know you're ready.
Our white people have been vaccinated. I mean, you guys should be in here. You know, if nothing else, roll by, let the dog out, let him run in here and talk to us. Anyway.
That's right. I'll just unclip the leash and say, hey, go in there. Do your thing.
Do your thing. Hey. Okay, so who do you have today?
Oh, today I have Macho Man. He is a... he's not Savage, though. He's not Randy Savage. He's just Macho. He's a fawn and white pit bull mix. He's about 60 pounds, about 3 years old. He's a good boy with people. He's one of those dogs. He came in after someone found him messing with their chickens in his yard. So no small animals for this guy. But, he knows. He does shit. Oh, excuse me. Sit down and shake.
No, that's okay. He didn't mean it.
Nope. He sits down and shake. He pulls a little on the leash but listens hard. I know, I kinda derailed myself. I combine shake and sit in my head, okay?
Okay. That's right. You know, usually we have to worry about, you know, people that are, you know, wild-eyed revolutionaries or insurrectionists. We don't usually have to worry about the people from Haven Humane. I can't wait to tell Mark about this.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know you're going to have to, whoever you have come in has got to clean up their potty mouth.
Yeah, you tell him that. He'll be.
You should have seen Jared's face. Jared's eyes. I've never seen Jared's eyes that wide. And he's reaching for the delete button. And, you know, that's why you have to have the delete button sitting next to you, man. Okay, go on.
Hey, I'm glad I could liven up the morning a little bit.
Hopefully
anyway,
that's the end of it today, too.
Yeah, I think I got it out of my system.
Okay, so Macho Man is a pity cross. He's not good around small animals, but he's is he affectionate? Is he, you know, those kinds of things?
Yeah, he's an affectionate guy. He loves to play and do all the normal stuff that a you know, big, healthy pit bull wants to do. Loves to go outside, run around in the yard, play with his toys, do all that stuff. I have a note here that he does have manners. Don't let him tell you otherwise. So he presses the issue, but as long as you're firm.
As long as you're the alpha male, we're
exactly.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. Loves toys. I don't have information yet about how great he'll do with other dogs. He's reactive when he's in their kennel, but that's the most dogs are because everyone's barking at you as you walk by.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So what else is going on down there?
You know, not a lot right now. We're getting ready to re-enter society, as you say. We just did our first outreach earlier this week for the Week of the Young Child. Me and our volunteer coordinator went out and handed out buttons and information about wildfire season and stuff like that to children and their parents. So we had a lot of fun doing that. Ready to get back out there and start being in the community again. And, you know, you guys talked about the heat coming through and summer coming. And
yeah, 90 degrees, we got, you know, start worrying about people leaving their dogs and or animals in the cars.
Right, exactly. So dogs and vehicles, you know, keep an eye out for that. You can always call our animal regulation line, and they'll come and do a welfare check on them.
Yeah.
You know, also something to think about is the asphalt's usually, you know, like 10 to 30 to 40 degrees hotter than the air around it.
Yeah.
So when you're taking your dog for a walk in the heat, make sure you're paying attention to where you're walking.
Especially if they're little dogs, because not only does it hit their paws, but it reflects back into their belly and all this, and
exactly.
It warms them up quicker.
Yeah, and big dogs just, you know, they won't tell you when it hurts. They're just going to keep going because they're having fun outside. But so, yeah, just pay attention to what your dog's doing and where you're walking when it starts getting hot. And, yeah, don't, you know, inside of cars as well, 40, 50, 60 degrees hotter than it is outside. So just be careful and be aware of your animal friends.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Hey, I want to hit a couple of things before we take a break and we get into our Fountain Win, I guess. Shooting in Indianapolis, 8 people dead. I think that's including the shooter. At the Indianapolis FedEx facility, over 4,500 people work there. It's the second largest hub they have of FedEx. No information beyond that right now. Who the shooter is or what may have caused it. Was it an employee? So there's nothing there right now. Is extremely unfortunate. Again, the Asphalt Cowboys Pancake Breakfast is on May 14th. They're just trying to nail down where it's going to be. But the county health has worked with them. They're having that, and so I'm hearing okay. The rumor control says it's going to be at the Civic out there on the big grass area out there. You can put. You know, you could put 500 tables out there if you wanted to and spread everybody out. So that's we know what's going to happen, and we believe that's where it's going to be. So hooray for us. Now, you know the way rodeo's going. And right now I talked to Caltrans. And Caltrans is working with the city and the county and the health department. And right now it's working its way through the bureaucracy, but it looks like it could happen the Reading Rodeo Parade, too. So these are good. These are great things. We need this. You know, frankly, I don't know. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer because it's a parade and people are spread out in a parade and it's outside and it's going to probably be hot like we have. It does all those things. You know, you can mask or not mask. I mean, it's the thing is, though, is hopefully that they're going to get the permission and everybody's going to show up and we're going to have a great parade. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to be with the opponents of the Fountain Wind Project. And the Fountain Wind Project, of course, is a number of wind turbines in the Round Mountain, Burney area, those areas there. And we have a number of people sitting out here to talk about why that's a bad idea. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in town. I've been going to Bastiani Arms since they opened, which is around 11 years ago. John Bastiani and his people are just absolutely 100% on customer service. And they always have had a selection of firearms that when I buy a firearm, I go to Bastiani's, ammo, all the accessories, and gunsmithing. John, there's nobody better than John Bastiani, in my opinion, when it comes to working on your firearms. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. You can give them a call at 222-8222, see what they have in stock. But what they do have in stock is at a fair price. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, like in some areas, wanting to charge you $50 for a box of 50 rounds of some off-brand, like some places are. Bastiani Arms. 7:14 in the morning, 52 degrees, and we'll be right back.
has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebot. It is 7:18 in the morning, 52 degrees out there on this beautiful Friday. It's going to be like this. It's going to get up to 90 Sunday. Today about, what did we say, Jared? 80-something? 88?
It's going to be 82.
82. Oh, wow. Okay, that's just balmy. All right. Hey, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson is a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And Cornerstone Community Bank is bringing us this segment. Community-oriented, community types of people there. Locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. Two branches right here in town at 192 Art Hartnell Avenue in the old Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's the main branch. And again, at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Good people. We do business with Cornerstone. And with me today is Beth Masick Latins and Joel Osa. And, they are here because there is a proposed wind turbine area, wind turbine, project that's going to go up. They call it the Fountain Wind Project. It's going to go up around Bernie Round Mountain and that area. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So, Beth, tell us a little bit about you. Yeah. And same thing with Joel. Just a little bit about you.
Well, I'm actually a disabled nurse. Uh-huh. Used to fly in the choppers around here in the ambulances and
wow.
that kind of stuff. And then when I got disabled, I ended up becoming a board member at Hill Country Community Clinic. Mm-hmm. And I've been a resident up there for a coon's age. My grandfather bought the original property in 52 when I was a year old. And so it's been in the family now for 70 years. And,
wow. And yeah. Yeah. And Joseph?
Myself, Joel? I'm a retired electrical electronics engineer. Worked for DOD for about 30 years. I live in the Montgomery Creek area, project area, essentially.
Okay. So tell us what I know about, and I've talked to the Fountain Wind Project themselves, their representatives, Henry, and you know Henry.
Right.
And what this project is, and if I get this right, and I'm sure you all know a lot more about it than I do, it's this up to 72 wind turbines and about 900 feet in height.
Actually, if they go with the full 72, they'll probably be about 600 feet tall.
Okay, 600 feet tall.
And if they go with less than that number, then the height jumps another 100 feet.
It won't be over 700 feet.
It won't be
okay.
over 700
All right, well,
feet.
Then I take back what I thought. I thought I had written down 900, probably a 7, and I somehow looked at it as a 9. Okay, and you're opposed to this.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us why?
I can give you a list of from all the way from the aesthetics and the birds and the tourist trade to the major one, which is fire and the fire risk in the area. We've already experienced one of the largest fires that had been until the last couple of years in Northern California. And the speed of the movement and the ability of people to get out was very dependent upon the logging roads that are in this project area, which have been locked down. And so there is a very limited evacuation route available for a large number of people.
Now, how big a project is this when we talk about, okay, up to 72 turbines, but how many acres are we talking about here?
The total leased lands that the project will reside on are around 30,000 acres.
Okay, around 30,000.
Yeah, the actual footprint of the equipment and so forth is estimated to be about 4,500 acres,
mm-hmm.
And that's for power lines, substations, the turbine themselves, and so forth. So that's the land that would likely be impacted most directly from the construction installation of the wind development.
Okay, so what's the other 30,000 acres then?
That's the general area of the lands that are leased by the company.
Okay.
Formerly Avangrid, now ConnectGen.
Okay. So right now the main opposition on this is because it could cause danger during the fire. I should say fires because we have fires. It could happen.
We in our area, if you count Oak Run with the Montgomery Creek Round Mountain, have had 5 fires since the 1st of April already. And so putting the wind turbine project up there increases the fire risk because of the nature of the turbines and it calling down lightning or sending up lightning. It connects with lightning, which we already have a huge amount of in our area. But then there's the complication of air flight. Mm. And I think that'll be coming up shortly. We're discussing
that. Yeah, you have
a
retired aerial firefighter calling in here in a few minutes, I believe. And he's going to talk about this, about the problems with this. There's turbines up there already.
Yes.
Is that correct? Is that's the Hatchet Ridge?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, and they're up there. And I don't. How many of those are up there?
There are 44 of those up there.
Okay.
They are in a straight line, so the tanker pilots and whomever could do strafing runs on either side of the turbine project. And so it's not quite as much of a difficulty as far as firefighting, but these new project is going to impact Hatchet and the amount of power it's going to be able to produce because of the turbulence and the wake effect that comes with, that's inherent with wind turbines.
How long are the arms on the, I say arms, they're blades. How long are the blades on these turbines?
It's about 530-foot diameter is the diameter of the largest turbines that they might install, the 679-foot ones. Yeah, so they're pretty large. The
200 feet?
Say, pardon?
200 feet?
In radius, 250 in that area.
Yeah, closer to 270 feet almost.
So. On the each blade?
Yeah, each blade.
Each blade.
Right. Yeah.
When you see these, because Hatchet Ridge was here when I moved in there. And you can see Hatchet Ridge on a clear day from right here, from my backyard.
Yes.
And but like you said, they're on, have they resulted in more fires up there?
They actually had a fire during construction. They've had a couple of fires up there. Fortunately, the first big one only got to about,
I think it was about 5 acres or so during the construction. I think there were two fires during the construction, but they were able to put it out. Fortunately, it wasn't a particularly windy day, and the resources were close by. And so,
well, they want to put turbines there for one reason, the wind.
Right.
Yeah.
And the are we going to get into the, they look at it in running in the evenings. I believe, because that's when the main wind moves through there. Typically, as the wind comes in the evenings. How much power are they saying? Well, and this is what I'll ask them and all this, but they're going to be generating so many megawatts of power. Is this correct?
Yeah, the nameplate capacity, what they're targeting is 216 megawatts. And that's part of what determines the number of turbines and the size of the turbines and so forth. And so the company claims that they will be able to supply power to anywhere from 86 to 100,000 homes.
Okay.
And that number is based on a pretty low average usage. They use the overall average for California, which is particularly low. Instead of using the number for Shasta County, for instance, the power used overall in California is about 6 megawatt hours per year. The average usage in Shasta County is about 10 megawatt hours, and throughout the country it's about 12 megawatt hours. Mm-hmm. And so they use a lower number than what would actually occur here in Shasta County, but the actual power produced has to do with capacity, what they call capacity factor, and that's how often the wind blows, how well the equipment stays up and running, maintenance, all those kind of things. So
now, are they having to build new power lines, or are they going to be able to hook onto existing power lines, like from where Hatchet Ridge is or something?
Well, they'll be putting in new lines amongst the turbines themselves, and then they will run lines to a substation. They are going to build another substation, and then that's going to connect to PG&E's substation.
In Cottonwood.
In Round Mountain. Then it'll run down that line.
Yeah, they'll actually connect to the Cedar Creek substation, which is where the 230 kV line runs, the existing line from PG&E. And that's actually part of the problem. That's one of our objections, is that closely located Round Mountain substation, which is interconnected to the Cedar Creek through an intertie line, is slated by the CPUC and CalISO for a major upgrade for voltage irregularities, thermal overload issues. It's been identified as a high priority $200 million plus project to correct this deficiency because it's a safety hazard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to connect to a substation through these intertie lines that is already a safety issue. And that's one of our objections that we've brought up to the county, trying to get them to delay considering this project and its interconnection until this is resolved at the Round Mountain substation, let alone PG&E's whole infrastructure, which we know is problematic, especially from recent news events.
Questionable at times, you
yes,
might say.
Absolutely.
Well, and the other problem with the 84,000 homes is that's if the turbines are producing at full capacity 24/7. We know the wind doesn't blow all the time, even up there. And we know that they certainly do not function at full capacity. Hatchet Ridge is actually only operating between 20 and 24% of its capacity. So I can extrapolate that these are going to be of a similar nature.
Okay. So you're talking about 25%. So essentially,
it could be just 20,000 homes.
Okay.
And
all right. Well, look. Let me. We have to take a quick break here. Has the gentleman called in yet?
He has. I let him know that we'd come back to him after the break.
Okay, right after the break, and then we're going to. And this is a tanker pilot, if I understand right.
It's my understanding that this is the president of California's
Air Tanker Association.
Air Tanker Association. Okay, so I'm looking forward to talking to him. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. 7:31 in the morning, 52 degrees out there. Crackmaster Windshield Repair is bringing us a segment. Crackmaster is a true professional when it comes to fixing your windshields, whether it's a small chip or cracks over 2 feet in length. Jeff's been doing this for a couple of decades. It's a veteran-owned business. He's a true professional, and he guarantees his work for life. That's Jeff Wurst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back with the opponents to the Fountain Wind Project, the proposed Fountain Wind Project, which is still in the deciding stages right now. Okay, we'll be right back.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, the new Queen Sleep Number 360 P5 Smart Bed is only $1,799. Save $600. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most. And their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 on your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:36 in the morning, 52 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite. Mike Huber has Estate Granite. He's been doing it for 16 years. He works on appointments only, and if you're looking to change the look of your kitchen or other parts of your home, with a true artist, a virtuoso when it comes to working with stone, it is Mike Huber. He did our kitchen, redid our whole kitchen, and I can tell you what, he has an eye of an artist and does just incredibly beautiful work. Like I said, he works on appointments only, and for a free consultation, you can give him a call at 241-STONE, 241-STONE, or go to EstateGranite.com. That's a better-known business right here, a local guy. 7:36 in the morning. I'm here with the opponents to the Fountain Wind Project, which is a wind turbine project that can be up to 72 turbines, but they could be less turbines. But the less turbines there are, the higher they get in height, so they can maintain the wattage that they advertise. And one of the things they are concerned about is firefighting. Because, as we all know, fires up there are tough enough as it is. And on the phone, we have Jim Barnes, who is president of the Air Tankers Association. Did I get that right?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have served as chairman of the board on several occasions over the past 25 years. Our current chairman, Chief Dave Wardall, retired Cal Fire maintenance officer, has asked me to step up to this for a pilot's perspective.
Well, as we know up here, and especially in the rough country we're in, it's extremely important to have the air transport, the air fighters up there, transport fighters in the air. Is there a problem with the Fountain Wind Project?
Well, I've fought fire in turbine fields before at Altamont, Tehachapi. And the problem is that you really have to let the fire burn through the turbine field before you can fight it.
Well, when you to do that, I mean, this is a 4,500-acre project.
Mm-hmm.
They've leased 40,000, but the project itself is on 4,500 acres. Does that mean you have to let it burn the whole 4,500 acres?
Well, our ground forces would be in there working, doing their best, and whatever aviation assets could work in and around the field would do what they could. My experience has been that when Altamont starts, if you don't get the thing stopped before it gets into the field, it burns all the way down to I-5, and we stop it down there. But it's all grassland, and there are no homes involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, does it, Hatchet Ridge also up here has a string of, 42 towers up there. But is there less problem? I've been told there's less problem flying that because they're in a straight line. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's Yeah, they're not spread out all over the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
What's critical in any fire, and especially in that area, I've fought fire in that area over the last 30 years, is rapid response initial attack is the holy grail of CAL FIRE's firefighting policy. It's about 90%+ effective in stopping a fire under 10 acres. If you get a fire in an area like that, you're not going to be able to affect an effective initial attack from fixed-wing air tankers once the fire is established in the field.
Okay. So is it because of the way they're arranged, or is it just because if you can fight it in Hatchet Ridge, what's the problem down here in Fountain Wind?
Well, I liken it to shooting the rapids with a kayak. You know, once you get to the area in the river where big tall boulders are protruding,
uh-huh.
It's going to be a rough ride. It's going to be a perilous journey. And anytime you have structures that tall in a high wind environment, it's going to be like riding through those rapids. It's the difference is you can see water, you can't see air. So when you fly in close proximity to towers, you're going to experience the turbulence, the eddy currents that those things generate.
It's been explained to me is that they're not going to be in a straight line.
I've got a map here. It shows there. It's spread out pretty much throughout the area in the south portion of the area.
Okay, so they're spread out in different locations like that. So it's not like you can make just one run. You'd have to give. I don't know how you do it. Really,
that's the problem.
Well, you know, there might be opportunities where uh-huh. you could use fixed wing assets, especially the large and very large air tankers. But those are not the air tankers you're going to see in the first 15 minutes of fire, unless we happen to be lucky and have some down at Redding that are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They usually do have some large air tankers, but there again, maneuverability, you know, these are large aircraft that are very heavily laden, and they're flying at their approach to landing speed.
Oh, okay.
So your ability to maneuver at that speed and that weight is greatly reduced, and when you hit turbulence or eddy currents, being able to maintain control is going to be that much more mm-hmm. difficult.
Well, what about, will helicopters have that same problem?
I can't speak for the helicopter guys.
Okay.
Boy, they do a magnificent job.
Yeah.
But it's the synergy between fixed-wing assets and our helicopter firefighters that really provide a force multiplier for our kids on the ground that are out there battling the flames at the fire's edge.
Well, it sounds like to me then is what you're saying, you know, from what you've said is it's if you got to catch it right away in that first 10 acres to be.
Well, that's the doctrine of a right. rapid response initial attack that CAL FIRE, most fire departments employ, and one of your fastest initial attack tools are aircraft because
mm-hmm.
they go to the fire at 220 knots. So you're talking about a matter of minutes from Redding to up by Round Mountain and Montgomery Creek area, all that.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be there rapidly. They're going to be there faster. Other than the local ground resources, they're going to be there faster than anything. So the window of opportunity for a fire stop begins to close as soon as the ignition. And when you get the high winds that come through there, the northeast winds, you're going to have to be all over it pretty rapidly. Otherwise, it's going to get away.
What height do you need to drop your load?
Now, in the state tankers, our optimum height is 150 feet above terrain, above the vegetation top. And
that's a little bit below the levels of the turbines there.
Yeah, no, we couldn't get to our optimum height inside the field. Well, there may be, I can see areas here in the field where there are spaces where you could get in. But there are also areas of very high concentration of turbines where you wouldn't be able to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And my my observations at Altamont and down at the Atchipy is basically aviation assets were not used that much in the field itself. You know, around the edges, maybe a drop here and there. But what we want to be able to do is build to help the firefighters on the ground build a line. And that's not a drop here and a drop there. It's a concentrated effort to anchor the fire, flank it, hook it, stop it, and help those ground firefighters out.
Okay. So in this 4,500 acres, it would be very difficult to do that.
Well, actually, it's problematic for aerial firefighters.
Aerial
now,
firefighters.
Our VLAD airplanes, they drop such a huge amount.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify.
Aerial, but they're few and far between. They're a wonderful asset, but they're few and far between. Like I say, that's not the airplane you're going to see in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and it's the first 20 minutes may make the difference between whether we stop the fire or lose an entire community. Now, one of the tough things about being a tanker pilot is because our scope of operations is so broad, we get to witness hundreds of homes destroyed every year. I started my firefighting career as a tanker captain in Redding, so I fought fire in that area. I was not at the Fountain Fire, but I knew a lot of pilots who were, and they talked about, you know, the heartbreak of watching all those homes lost. Yeah, I believe we lost in excess of 600 homes in that area during that period. And of course, we see that every year now in California and different places. But
unfortunately, that's not unusual. No.
It's not unusual, but, you know, in Northern California, you've got all these pyrophytic species that love to burn, and you get a little wind on that, and it can be devastating. And so, you know, we've got a lot of work to do with fuel management and fire breaks and safety zones to keep people alive, not just to save their homes. And
I'd like to clarify
these
one
thing. Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about interrupting. I just wanted to clarify. The 4,500 acres. That's just the footprint of the pads. If you added those up, the substation, the power line. The actual turbine field, as Jim is talking about, that they would often let burn until they could operate outside of, is the 30,000 acres.
Oh, so that's, we're talking 30,000 acres here as opposed to the, 4,500 acres is bad enough, but that's just the locations of the turbines themselves, but all the surrounding property around it comes up to 30,000 acres.
Right. These things are spread out in two or three here, five or six here, six or seven there, in these various lines along the ridges throughout this 30,000 acre footprint. So that's the turbine field that they would have difficulty getting into with aerial firefighting equipment. And the ground crews, of course, without the support needed.
Okay. Well, Jim, then that makes things just a little bit different there. So now you're talking about an area of around 30,000 acres that you'd have to let it burn out to a spot where you could hit it then.
Well, there might be opportunities here and there where you could work air tankers inside the turbine field, but then there's potential hazards in doing that. It's just like operating near high tension power lines, which we do routinely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's you know, I've dropped retardant through 20,000 volt lines and had the whole thing blow up like a bomb. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's.
So what I'm getting at, this could be a real problem for the air tankers that you couldn't do it in the specific areas and maybe have to wait until they get out to the adjacent areas. Not saying there's not spots in there you could hit. So it would just primarily be your ground crews that'd be fighting this.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about our ground crews and our citizens on the ground.
Well,
you know, we want to get in there and help our ground troops. That's the mission.
Right.
To help them. And to help protect them. And so the dangers involved are there. It's anytime you stick a, you know, 700-foot-tall structure up into the wind and you have to fly right next to it, you're going to feel the effects. And if you hit a wind shear, we've lost air tankers not too far from this area because it's very abrupt topography and it's... You can't see the air. You can get a clue on on what's going to happen when you fly through this kind of thing. But
and,
like
and we're
say,
talking about
shooting the rapids.
Yeah, we're not talking about dropping 10 feet. We're talking about dropping 100 feet in some of these.
150 feet for the state air tankers. Now, the VLATs drop a little higher than that.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim, thank you very much. We've got to run here. And but thank you for your comments on this.
Well, thank you, sir.
And thank you for your service out there.
Oh, thank you very much.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, 7:50 in the morning, and we'll be right back with the people from the Fountain Wind Project.
Trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our summer session offers flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings that easily fit around jobs and family responsibilities. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill the many positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan a cool summer of hot classes today. Summer session classes begin June 7th. Achieve more, earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Creekside Pub and Grill is a fast and friendly casual eatery, open daily from 6 a.m. to 4 a.m. No matter what time of day or whether you're looking for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you'll find a tempting selection of food and beverages at Creekside Pub and Grill inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't forget to stop by the coffee bar for your favorite coffee specialties and infused energy drinks. Skip the line, order your favorite eats and treats online at windriver.com and receive 10% off. Download the Wind River app.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Compass Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook. Compass Sports Cards.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. The Carl and Linda Bob. It is 7:54 in the morning and on the 16th of April. We're here with Beth Messick-Lattins and Joel Olson. on the phone, we just had Jim Barnes, who was the past chairman of the Air Tankers Association, and talking about the problems with using air tankers around turbines. Now, when we talk about this, there's other air turbines, but as we talked during the break, those are in flatlands and lower elevations. When you get it up into the mountains, things change dramatically. And I think Jim talked about that too. Now, the reason that wind turbines, you're starting to see this more and more, is because California is driving people to renewable assets. Right. And they're trying to do away with the carbon footprints, with the internal combustion engines, with everything including natural gas, you know, and trying to make this all solar and wind, and I'm not sure what's left, since they don't count hydroelectric as right. a renewable, which to me is ridiculous. So and people are going to say, well, we need electricity. And are you, you know, what's this going to do to the communities up there?
Well, it's going to decimate the communities up there, because if there's a threat of fire and that the tankers are not going to fight it, then we are worried about our insurance coverage, whether we're going to be able to get insurance. We're not going to be able to sell our property. It brings us basically nothing. They say that it'll make 200 construction jobs. Only none of those contractors are going to be from our area. They admit that the majority will be hired from out of the area. They say that they're going to provide $1 million to the community up there over the course of 30 years. Mm-hmm. Well, when you divide that out, then you're going to give basically $35,000 to Bernie, Round Mountain, Montgomery Creek, Oak Run, that area right there, which is going to be a negligible benefit for that. This is where you've got two major problems coming head-to-head for the state. You've got green energy butting heads against fire, and there are certain places that think this belongs. Redoing a bunch of the wind fields that are up around Altamont and Tehachapi, instead of letting them just lay there in skeletons, if they repurpose those, that would set a whole lot of wind turbine projects back up functioning where they had been.
Now, you're saying is the ones up in Tehachapi aren't running anymore?
No, there's quite a few running. In fact, yeah. I just got back from San Diego, and I drove through Tehachapi and Palmdale area.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, when you go down on the interstate down there, I mean, there is just in that canyon there.
Right.
And that wind blows so hard, I couldn't ride my Harley through there.
Right. But a lot of them are old, they're smaller.
They've been there for a long time. What's the lifespan on these things?
Anywhere from 25 to 40 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, some of them have been there at least that long.
Right.
And there's no recycling of the blades.
Right. You know, another point, I just want to kind of go back to your mention about carbon sequestration.
Right.
There's a couple of problems with this. One is that Cal ISO in the first 6 months of 2020 curtailed more than 20% of the renewable power here in California. This is because they don't have storage. And it, as you said, for wind, it blows at night. And most of the time, it's not really used at night. Also, in the PG&E service territory where this is located, only 22% of PG&E's power is produced from gas. The rest is hydro, nuclear, or solar and wind. And so you're really not, by replacing PG&E's power or adding this to it, you're already producing power, 78% of which is from non-carbon producing sources.
Mm-hmm.
These wind turbines are also in conflict with Cal Fire's carbon climate control program, because they're removing thousands of acres of carbon sequestering trees. It's counterproductive. So that's why forests aren't the place to locate wind developments like this. So.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, just because we try to be as fair as we can, the Fountain Wind Project gents are going to be on next Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And they're going to talk about why, why they're putting it there and how this is going to be good for our area.
Yep.
And I'm sure there'll be another time, at least one more time a piece for y'all to come in, because it's at the isn't it at the developers or the county?
Yeah, we're awaiting
commission?
The final environmental impact report. That's the next step.
Okay,
they'll publish that and then they'll have public hearings.
Okay, so we'll keep everybody abreast of all these things. And
we'll
thank
do.
You so much for coming down. I know it was a trip to come down here.
Not a problem.
Okay. We'll be right back with House of Realty.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett says his city is grieving the loss of 8 people killed in last night's mass shooting at a FedEx facility near the airport. The city of Indianapolis experiencing
grief for the families of those killed, grief for the employees who have lost their coworkers, and grief for the many Americans struggling to understand how tragedies like this continue to occur again and again.
And a big question that remains unanswered. Why?
Many of you have already asked what the motive of this shooting was, and with less than 12 hours since the shooting, it would be premature to speculate on that motivation.
The FBI's Paul Keenan. Police say that after the attack, the gunman took his own life. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot urging peace and patience following the release of police body cam video showing the shooting of a 13-year-old. The teen is seen dropping what appears to be a handgun and starting to raise his hands a split second before he was shot. Police say the boy had a gun on him before the shooting. President Biden about to hold his first face-to-face meeting with a foreign leader since taking office. White House correspondent Greg Clugston says Japan's prime minister will be stopping by the White House today.
The U.S. and Japan enjoy a strong security alliance, and today's talks here in Washington come at a time when both nations are concerned with China's growing economic and military clout. White House officials say China, as well as North Korea, will be on the agenda for the two leaders.
It's a power grab for the Democrats, and he calls it a terrible idea. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan blasting the Democrats' plan to pack the Supreme Court. Jordan says that the radical left has taken control of the Democrat Party and is all about gaining power. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 134 points, NASDAQ down 17. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. With the gorgeous weather we're experiencing, it's time to start planning a fun getaway and do some spring cleaning. If you are an unhappy timeshare owner, start your cleaning by giving us a call. We will get you out of your unused timeshare quickly. You can then use that money for a real vacation of your choosing. For over a decade, Lone Star Transfer has been helping thousands of people just like you exit their expensive timeshare. We've earned an A-plus rating and have over 600 excellent reviews with the BBB. Imagine being timeshare free with no more expensive maintenance fees. Lone Star Transfer guarantees the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. For the best customer service and a free consultation, call 844-284-4860. That's 844-284-4860 or online at lonestartransfer.com.
One particular scientific endeavor raising serious moral and ethical concerns, the BBC's Helen Briggs explains.
Researchers say by injecting human cells into the embryos of other animals, in this case a monkey, we might someday be able to grow new organs for people with failing hearts or kidneys. In a step towards this goal, scientists in the US and China implanted human stem cells inside monkey embryos. They studied the development of the embryos in the lab, and research, they say, gives clues to how the cells of one species can adjust to survive inside another. Other scientists have raised ethical concerns about the experiment, arguing that while the embryos in this case were destroyed at 20 days, someone could try to take the work further.
Ukraine's president holding talks with the French president and Germany's chancellor amid growing tension with Russia, which is massing troops along its border with Ukraine. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Texas, the scene of the country's next big voting battle.
Legislation advancing in the GOP-controlled Texas Capitol could outlaw 24-hour polling places, eliminate drive-through voting, and make it a crime for elections officials to mail unsolicited absentee ballot applications, effectively banning everything Democratic Houston did to expand ballot access last year. Republicans have angrily rejected accusations they're trying to suppress minority turnout, saying the measures only rein in powers county leaders never had in the first place. Republican Governor Greg Abbott supports the measures.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra in Dallas. Tokyo Olympic organizers once again assuring the world that the postponed games will open in just over 3 months, despite surging COVID-19 cases in Japan. The Olympics scheduled to open on the 23rd of July. And again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 126 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. And today, Friday the 16th, it used to be the day after tax day where everybody would be kind of like moaning, but tax day is no longer April 15th this year. It's May 17th, so you've got another month to whine and complain about what's happening. Hey, 8:05 in the morning in the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Jared, what's the weather look like here?
It is currently 54 degrees here in Reading. Today is going to be sunny and clear with a high of 82, a low of 53. Tomorrow is going to be sunny and clear with a high of 84, a low of 53. Sunday is going to be sunny and clear with a high of 90, a low of 54. And on Monday, it's going to be sunny during the day and partly cloudy Monday night with a high of 90 and a low of 56.
Oh, wow. It's getting up there. Going to get back into our Hawaiian shirt evolution again. The weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, an Anderson-based business, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. On the line, of course, is Susan Eastman, First Vice President of Investments at Stifel. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, stocks are moving higher in another record-setting day for the Dow and the S&P 500. Currently, the Dow is up 132 points at 34,167. The S&P 500 is positive 9 points at 4,179. And the Nasdaq Composite is down 3 points at 14,035. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, NEO up 56 cents at 36.23, Bank of America positive 50 cents, trading at 39.24, Pfizer up 70 cents at 38.30. For stocks of local interest, UPS up 73 cents, trading at 180.37, PG&E down 9 cents at 11.78 per share, Bank of Commerce off 14 cents at 12.71. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 1.578%. And over to commodities, gold is up $14 an ounce at $1,780. Silver positive 21 cents at $26.09 per ounce. And crude oil up 46 cents, trading at $63 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President, Investments, Stifel, Nicholas & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR. That's what I have to say at the very end.
I know.
There you go.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's a great day on the market. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you can reach Susan at 530-244-7199. Susan Eastman. Well, it's 8:08 on the third Friday of the month, which means I have House of Realty. And you know what? I have the Middleton. It should be called the Middleton Group here today because I have Joyce, Bruce, and Cameron. Middleton with me today. And good morning, all.
Top of the morning.
Good morning.
Now, you brought the boss in today, Joyce. Good morning.
The boss.
The boss lady is in the house.
The broker.
You know, the reason I asked this question, because something came up when we were talking evictions on one of the shows. And we told that story of the people who bought that house somewhere in Southern California. I think we talked even about it the last show. They bought the house. They paid the money. The guy refused to move out of the house. Well, I just read a follow-up on that. I don't know if you've seen that. But they finally got him out of the house. And what's the couple doing? They're selling the house.
Yeah, they don't even want to move in. Yeah. I saw that. But
did you see that?
it was in remarkable condition. They had no idea what it was going to look like.
Right.
And it had been very well maintained, which was a total surprise to them.
But still, they said because of all the angst they went through.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think, too, maybe the price of the house had gone up another $100,000.
Probably. I think they were there several months, and things are going up monthly. So, absolutely.
Well, that was one of the reasons that, because I talked to Joyce a little bit on the phone about, because during the COVID, and I just saw one in Hawaii, they just extended, you can't have people move out because of COVID, and California's done that, I believe. And I said, well, what rights do property owners? And I'm not thinking of these mega corporations that own thousands of houses. I'm thinking about our neighbors that have a house that they've, you know, that they're paying on, you know, and they've rented it out, and the people aren't making payments. They're not keeping electricity up or anything like this. What are the, are people just locked into this, Joyce?
It's been up and down, back and forth ever since COVID hit last year. And everyone thought COVID was going to be a short-term, several-month lockdown, we'd be out of it. So they didn't really address it to start with. And then as people lost jobs, people didn't have income, people didn't pay the rent, then they started to sit up and take notice about what are we going to do about this. And they still basically didn't do anything but let the tenants stay in. And because of COVID, they weren't responsible to pay the rent, which was the first part of it. Then it evolved into where we need documentation, something, a letter from your employer, there's forms to fill out. Let me see how COVID has affected you. Because there was a big misconception that because we're under COVID, even mm-hmm. if I don't lose my job, I don't lose any income, I don't have to pay my rent, which was a total misconception. We had people that didn't want to pay their rent because of COVID, even though they were in the medical profession. So that got worked out. And as it's come down to, the state of California kind of looks at it that it's a short-term sacrifice by the rental housing owners, which puts the burden back on the owners. There's been different bills that have been passed where there was one, an SB 91, that put $2.7 billion out to California homeowners, and they could sign up to take advantage of it, which they agreed to take 80% of the rents from the tenants, forgive the other 20% of the rents. And you can sign up and you can qualify to do that. However, if you sign up for it and the money runs out by the state, then you're barred from suing the tenant for any back rent whatsoever. So that didn't take off real well, but some owners did that. And they keep extending the moratorium to June 31st of last year, to December 31st of last year, to January 31st of this year, to now it's June 31st of this year. So we'll have to see if they're going to extend it again, depending on what our lockdown status is. But right now, if a tenant pays 25% of their rent per month, you cannot evict them.
Mm-hmm.
You can evict them if you're going to take it off the rental market and you're going to sell it or you're going to move into it. Then that's okay to evict someone like that. The other problem that we've had during this pandemic is the courts have been closed. And they are not hearing evictions. They were not hearing anything. So you could file your eviction notice, but they sat there until the courts would reopen again. And then depending on what the law was at that time would depend on whether they would hear it or not. Right now, the only way to get it out, like I said, is to sell it or move into it. And if you have a tenant that's considered a health and safety violation, then you can file an eviction. And at that time when you file your eviction, you have to have all your declarations and all your documents and have your case up front to present to the court at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You just do not file your eviction and then they set a hearing date because they're still so far behind in their caseload. So that's slowed it down some as well.
The state, we've got to take a break here in a second. The state did this because so many people lost their jobs.
Right.
And at the same time, they didn't want to see them kicked out onto the streets where they couldn't, you know, families kicked out on the streets where they couldn't, you know, move into a place.
Right.
And things like this. And, you know, you kind of understand that, because, you know, especially at the beginning when the enormous fear of COVID was out there. But it's been a year, and the economy has picked back up. And if you just listen to the stock market, it's just exploding there. So when we come back, what it was done to begin with now has had a huge impact on property owners. And again, I'm not talking about the big corporations. These are our neighbors, and could possibly even be us. I don't have a second home. We're still trying to get the first one taken care of. We're going to take a quick break here, which was, by the way, let everybody know that it was sold to us by the Middletons and House Realty. And every so often we think about selling it, and then we look around and we say, we've been in this house 15 years. It's a great house. It's a great house. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and great people there, Rebecca and Henry, a super selection of jewelry at very fair prices, including ones that you can design. If you've ever wanted to design a piece of jewelry, they will help you with that, and then they'll build it for you. So you'll have that one piece of jewelry that's special to you. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. We'll be right back.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st, at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st, for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with a USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed.
a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 8:20 in the morning, 53 degrees out there, going up to 84 today. It's going to be in the 90s this weekend. This portion of the show brought to you by Laux Landscape and Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. They're having their spring sale. It's going on through this weekend, through the 18th, whether it's seed or sod. This is your chance to save big on amazing products at Laux Landscape Supply. Plus, they have pavers for your patio, road base for your potholes, and a fleet of concrete trailers. Frankly, as soon as you use the term concrete trailer, you have gone way beyond not just my ability, but I
say what?
But they have it there, and you know what? They've got great advice. There's super people out there. Give them a call at 378-2220. But the thing about pouring concrete, my idea of pouring concrete is taking this ready mix, you know, bag of concrete, and you pour it into like a hole, and you put the post in there, and then you add water to it. It works. You know, it works. So other people are out there. I have friends in construction. They just put their hands over their eyes, and they go, Carl. I'm here with Bruce Cameron and Joyce Middleton from House Realty. We were talking about, you know, in the big-hearted way of trying to protect people from COVID over a year ago now, they put a moratorium on evicting people, which has people that are in trouble, you know, that lost their jobs. That's one thing. But you've got other groups of people that just have decided that because of COVID, I've got unemployment or what, but they're not keeping up their payments, which then leads to people that, as we talked about during the break, somebody may have had their house for 10 years, and then, you know, as they've moved up the financial chain, they bought another house, and they kept this one, their first house, to rent so they could build wealth, as we all want to do. And now they're not being paid the rent, which means they're having a problem paying on the mortgage, which then entails maybe having problems with the home they now own because somebody in this chain doesn't hold up their end. And one of the ways that you can get by the eviction if they refuse to move out is say, okay, fine, I'm just going to sell the house, or I'm going to move back in, or my family is going to move into it, so you can have your kids move in. So, but
another example too, Carl, would be with the way appreciation exists today, where things basically are going up 1% a month or more. There have been people that have a home free and clear that take out an equity line to buy another property or two as rentals. And then all of a sudden, when that rent doesn't come in, they're in danger of really losing any rentals they bought, as well as their home that had been paid for.
Right.
And we, 2006, 2007, we saw a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's tough. It seems like the renters are being taken care of, but not the homeowners.
And if there's nothing, you know, they have to continue paying, because if they don't, if there's something, so, oh no, okay, you people that are renting to people don't have to pay those mortgages, then it goes up to your mortgage companies. They're going, well, wait a minute here, you know. So somebody eventually.
Once
has to pay for
ban
it.
Is listed,
yeah,
lifted, there is a way to make repayment negotiations and terms with the tenants to repay the owner for the back rent that they've been mm-hmm. behind. And that's between the owner and the tenant. How that's going to work, I don't know. They're going to have to then bring their mortgage, pay the total amount of mortgage plus any arrearage per month that they agree upon. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Well, there could be people that, you know, it's a two-person working family, one of them lost, but they're still paying something on it every month. They've been doing well in the past. But that's up, strictly up to the owner of the property, but if they, you know, they may say, okay, fine, you're back to working now, so if you pay this, we'll eventually work it out. I mean, they can do that.
I think a lot of landlords are more than willing to work with them.
I think so.
Until it becomes financially unfeasible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give me 25% of the rent, but then all of a sudden they're having problems making the payments. So.
Well, it also sometimes leaves the rental properties in disrepair because the owner doesn't have the money to make any repairs because they're not receiving any rent. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting to see what happens when this
comes to an end. COVID, you know, we talk about COVID and the deaths of people, and of course that's very tragic, but it's the collateral damage that has happened from this, where, you know, kids in school, domestic violence, drug abuse, destruction of people's wealth. I mean, it's just, you know, the Cascade Theater and the Civic have yet to open up again, though everything else seems to be. Good news is we're having the rodeos, Red Bluff and then Reading Rodeo, and they're going to be able to do the pancake breakfast now.
Yes, we are.
And I heard it's going to be, I don't know if this is close hold, but I heard it may be out at the Civic.
It's going to be at the Civic.
Okay, good. And then I just talked to Caltrans yesterday that that the parade may still be happening.
We're not sure.
I know
the parade's a tough one. I'm on that committee, and it's
Caltrans is just waiting for the county health people to come back. I got a feeling they're not. I think they're ambivalent about it. They're more than happy to that happen.
That's the primary issue is Caltrans. So if we can work on that, yeah.
Okay.
The trouble is with all this, we're running out of time.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and then you have to tell people we're having a parade, and you have to set all that up. And the Asphalt Cowboys, you're having your big media day next Tuesday.
We are indeed.
Yep, I just heard that
yesterday.
I'll
see you there.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing is that everything has been compressed into a week where it used to take a year. So.
Well, and I think with a lot of this, too, I mean, and getting back to the rental and the housing situation, you know, what we hope right now, things are opening up. You are getting a lot of stimulus money that's being put back into the economy in a lot of ways. You know, certainly there are a lot of people that are more than 90 days behind their mortgages or their payments nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we want to make sure of, and I think this is going to be a primary thing, is how this is handled and stretched out over time. If we have a fundamental problem in housing, it's where a number of people, whether it's they own rentals or it's their primary residence, and they haven't been able to make payments, and it's called the forbearance that you mentioned earlier where the lender does that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, those bills come due, and they can't be paid, and we've run out of the stimulus. That can be a real problem. And so things are picking up, and I think that's what, you know, we advise our clients right now. I mean, even ones that are especially that are looking into, hey, I want to buy a rental. I want to buy multifamily housing. I want to be able to buy this for an investment. You got to go in with your eyes wide open right now. You've really got to do your due diligence and look at the risk. And again, I think looking at some of these bills and the way the legislature has kind of looked at rental housing, which is just strictly at the tenant level and on the demand and not on the supply side. Excuse me. What can possibly happen is you start having people that don't want to get into the rental business. And when people don't want to get into the rental business anymore, because, you know, we do have, you know, there's a new bill out there to put a new excise tax on landlords, period. If you're renting out a unit, you need to be paying a new tax. We have rent control now.
And Wait a minute. Because you're renting a unit out?
The way the bill reads is for the privilege of renting out your home or your real estate to someone else, you need to pay an excise tax, and that's in committee right now. There's another one, Mom, you were just mentioning.
There's another one. It's AB 854, and what that requires, I just received this yesterday, that it would prohibit the owner from filing a notice of an intent to withdraw the rental property from the market and even threatening to do so. You can't do that unless all the owners have owned the property for at least five continuous years before the notice.
Oh, wow. So now you can't, so that just took another way of being able to have people moved out of your
I can't even
property.
Imagine anybody proposing that. That is absolutely
No, it was probably
asinine.
Wiener. It was Wiener. I'm sure it was Wiener.
Well, that was my first comment.
It's
I said, that's got to be Wiener.
It's got to be Wiener.
It was
actually, it was Assemblymember Alex Lee.
But he's from San Francisco, too.
Susie Lee or Skinner, yeah, one of the, yeah, one of the
I bet
group.
He's from, I bet Lee's from San Francisco,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so.
I mean, they have totally lost track of reality.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's the other thing. And this, we have to take a break. When you can close down a major facility that has 1,080 jobs in it, which will destroy an entire community, and your senator and your assembly person doesn't even know about it, and they find out about it the same time that Carl Bott finds out about it in a press release.
Isn't that something?
There's something wrong in Sacramento. There's something wrong there. We got to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you want a second opinion on retirement plans or 401ks, talk to Judy. It's a free review and evaluation. Great lady, been in the business since 1993. Give them a call at 221-0441. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
You know what?
The Turtle Bay spring plant sale has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. As we grow our landscape lineup, we invite you to come see what we have done to bring you a high quality selection for all your projects. Take advantage of our ever growing selection of small rental equipment to help transform your yard, like a track machine trencher, rototillers, sod cutters, fiber plates, sod rollers, and so much more. Get the lawn you want this year using our Bolero Plus sod by Delta Bluegrass and pair that with our Jumpstart fertilizer to give it the boost it needs to thrive. Lauk's Landscape Supply is home of the UCART Concrete, where we have a large fleet of concrete trailers to help get the job done right and on time. Call and reserve yours today at 378-2220. You pick up or we deliver where no load is too big or too small. At Lauk's Landscape Supply, we have several different size trucks to accommodate your needs with fast and efficient delivery to your job site. We have a dedicated staff ready to walk you through your next project, so just give us a call at 378-2220. Check us out on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com, or just come see us 7 days a week at the intersection of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road, and tell your friends.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Axe throwing, Euro bungee. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. For CDC social distancing and masks recommended. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th. Go to www.reddingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Jefferson State Adventure Hub, Crown Motors, and Redding Yamaha and Sea-Doo.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:34 in the morning here on the 16th of April. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments, so you don't have to wait if you don't want to. I like to casually go in there when they open up again because of, you know, COVID gets weird, or weirded out, that I sit in there and catch up on my reading and listen to what's going on in there. It's the only place I've had my hair cut since I moved to Reading. So I can say, truthfully, it is the best place to get a haircut in Reading. And it's man's last stronghold. What can I say? 244-9478. We're here with House of Realty with Joyce Bruce and Cameron Middleton here. And the amount of information on real estate is this could be a two-hour show and still keep going. We've been talking about the eviction, you know, how landowners and property owners are getting hammered on the evictions, how you can work around that. If indeed it works for you like that, but how it's affecting, you know, where people aren't paying their rent, but the property owners still have to pay their mortgages, and how this is impacting on them with that. Now, let's kind of shift a little bit. Every month you give us an update on how many homes are available out there. And
yes, indeed. So as of this morning, and I've got the number right here, we are looking at a total on our MLS of 325 houses, is what I just pulled up.
Now, that MLS covers
Shasta County.
Shasta County, but keep in mind, a lot of those, there are people, there are agents in other counties, primarily Tehama.
Right.
Really, the kind of Cottonwood, South Cottonwood mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. that also list on the Shasta County. So a good portion of those are out. And in terms of the city of Reading, I've got 138 within city limits of Reading. Now, so that's not very many.
Well, you've had up to, what, 2,000?
I think 2,300 is the most I've
seen. The most you've ever seen. Yeah. But it would average probably then what?
1,200. Before all of this started, I would say late 2019, fall of 2019 and there, before we got into any of this, before 2020 started, we were hovering about 1,000. So okay. we're down by two-thirds, you know, we're a third of that number now on our MLS. And again, you know, even within the city of Reading, to only have 140, you know, 138, right in there, and that's been kind of holding steady. Now, keep in mind, we're at a point now, it's not that people aren't listing their houses. They may list their houses. It's they're going off the market so fast. They're being sold.
I've heard that there's bidding wars going on out there.
We've talked to people that have written as many as 10, 12 offers on homes and not gotten any of them. And that's becoming pretty commonplace. You know, hypothetically, you list a house at $350,000 and there are 11 bids and 8 of them or list price or above. And that's very, very commonplace now.
A $350,000 house. Yeah. Oh, what happens when you get up to that $500,000-$600,000 house?
They're selling.
They are
quickly.
Yeah, it depends. You still have to price it right.
Yeah.
When you get into the fours and fives, you're competing with some of the new construction. Uh-huh. So the new homes that are coming on the market, and we're seeing more of that, where new homes are coming on the market, you're getting them to new subdivisions, they have to compete with those. So you've got to be a little bit better price-wise, but they're still seeing them. We just had, one at 585 that got multiple offers, one at 6.25. So they're out there, and if you've got it priced anywhere in the right realm, they will get motion.
I've never seen so many homes 700, 800, 900, a million plus sell as we are right now. We had a home recently that we had a 1.75 million cash offer on. But we're seeing more and more upper end, and that's always the mm-hmm. slowest market because so few can qualify.
Right.
But that, you know, they're selling just as fast. Over in Clover Creek, I think, Robbie had six new starts, and none of them are more than half done, and four of them are already sold, but material costs have gone out of sight. Lumber, I think this morning went over $1,200 a thousand. Which is unbelievable, but everything has gone up, all aspects.
Well, there's a house. I've watched it being built because it was next door to a friend of mine's out there off of
on Hilltop.
That one, right on the corner there. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Wanted $630,000, I think. I don't know how much they got, but it just sold. But I watched it being built. I saw the inside. The guy probably didn't like it. I was going to walk around, but hey, his guys were there, so I was just looking at it. I cannot believe that they asked that much money because the location, in my opinion, is not good.
Yeah.
But then they sold it. And I was frankly shocked at it.
Oh,
and yeah. When we're off the air, I'll ask you how much it sold for. But it wasn't anything special in there. I mean, If you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly the one you're talking yeah. about.
Am I wrong?
No, and your friend was happy he got a good neighbor out of that,
yes.
too.
Oh, yeah. That was, this was, you know what? When you buy a house, make sure that you know what it means by having when they can go through your property? An easement.
Easement.
Find out where that easement is, because that can be very surprising.
Sounds like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Anyway, enough of that. But that kind of gives you an example of how fast moving. Now, are the people here in town buying, or these are all people coming in?
Both.
It is both. And for different reasons. We just got a call. I talked to somebody yesterday from San Diego that's going to be moving up here.
And why are they moving up here? Can I ask?
Multiple reasons. The younger ones are moving up here because they want a better place to raise a family. They don't want to raise the family down in the big cities and the big metropolitan areas.
We have a good education system up here.
We do.
We have a beautiful area to live. We have good health care.
They often have a connection up here, some kind of connection, a family member, somebody. Mm-hmm. We've got one in escrow right now from somebody from Maryland. And his son lives here. So he sold his place in Maryland, moving out here, wants to be near the grandkids. The San Diego ones, they have, in-laws, or he had in-laws up here. So they're going to go ahead and move back up.
Okay.
So we're seeing it for different reasons. Other people, it's just to get out of that, you know, hustle and bustle down there, the big city. We've got some gentlemen from San Mateo.
Yeah.
That are buying a ranch up here.
Yeah. But you're getting people, too, retirees.
Yeah.
And we had a walk-in the other day, and he said he'd lived in Monterey for 25 years, and they wanted, you know, a little different lifestyle. And I thought, you want to swap homes? Monterey sounds pretty good to me right now. But, so it's kind of all walks of life, but we're getting a real influx.
Well, some of the sales I've had have been people that were burned out of the Zog Mine fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those people have gotten some insurance money, and they're starting to buy in the area.
Well, what about the, we're talking about the movement of the back ends of a lot of the tech companies, where they can work from home. Is that an impact at all yet that you can tell?
Yes. It is. We've got, I mean, my cousin, your nephew, or your niece, she moved back up here and has just bought a house because she works for Lyft, and she can work remotely. Her husband's a software engineer. He can work remotely. So they're thinking, let's go up and move closer to the grandparents, or as I call them, babysitters, and get them up here, be able to have have some elbow room, have a front yard. I tell these guys all the time, I'm getting tired of babysitting their grandson. But, I think, you know, especially, and it's true about the retirees. We had a retired CHP that came up from the Sacramento area that came up and he just said, I just want a place where I can't see any other houses. I want low traffic on a dead-end street. I don't want traffic. I don't want to see any other houses. I'm so tired of being able to reach out my window and touch my neighbor's house.
Well, you can find those.
And the congestion and everything else. Oh, yeah. So that's a big, big part of what we're seeing. And there is an attraction to this area. And so we're seeing a lot of demand. I mean, we may get 20 listings a day. You may get 20 new listings, but the problem is
they're gone.
You've got 22 of them went pending. So we've got less inventory than we started.
You get 20 listings, but you've already sold 22.
Oh, yeah. Well, to go just a little bit deeper on that, my niece came up, works for Lyft. He works for a company out of Texas. He's a techie. But anyway, I think they had a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco. I think it was only a one-bedroom apartment, but it was like $3,600. And it was on the fifth floor. They had a young baby, but it was on the fifth floor with no elevator. And they just bought a 2,700-square-foot beautiful home. And their payment is considerably less than what they were paying for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco.
Wow. So, I believe it.
Yeah.
And not to mention daycare and, you know, everything else, you know.
Well, it does. And we got to take a break here. If you've got a house that you're thinking about listing, but here's the thing is, you know, every so often Linda and I go through this, but then Linda goes out and buys more furniture, and then we move other stuff out. You know what? I mean, you and Linda.
I understand.
You know, Linda was going, she says, gee, I kind of feel, you know, that, you know, because we've wanted this couch that we kind of sit next to each other. You know, that kind of thing, you know, because, you know, instead of just...
Those real long ones?
No, it's not. No, it's close in. But see, we got it, and we moved it in, and it's one of these that, oh, my God, it's bigger than we thought. So now everything else is being moved. Everything is being rearranged, and I just sit there and just try not to get run over. But so every time we... enough. This portion of the show, and I need this, is brought to you by Shining Care Healthy Brain Symposium. I need to sit in the front row on this one. It presents the Healthy Brain Shining Care is presenting the Healthy Brain Symposium April 28th. I'm going to send out cards to everybody here at the table from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard in Redding. Learn brain health and dementia prevention strategies at this free live event featuring exhibits and leading medical professionals and healthcare experts. Free registration online at shiningcare.org. That's going to be April 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be right back.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son. When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, the new Queen Sleep Number 360 P5 Smart Bed is only $1,799. Save $600. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at US Gun Pro. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 8:51 in the morning here on Friday, another grueling 2 hours of work being put into the archives that you can get into. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Among the highest rated hospitals for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, 4 out of 5 stars. In specific categories like heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, lack of surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip and knee replacements, all of this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. I'm here with House of Realty and Joyce and Bruce and Cameron Middleton. Here we've been talking about all types of things. One of the things, of course, is the cost of everything has gone up so dramatically. The number of houses on the market, many times we'll start with 20 listings in the during the day, but sell 22, so you've lost 2. You've gone down 2 more, and there's 100, and how many did you say, buddy? 137?
In city of Reading.
In the city of Reading, there's only 137.
In city limits.
In city limits. And in Shasta County and part of Tehama County, it's only up to
325, 330.
So
and that's everything.
Yeah, and people are moving in for a variety of reasons. It's, you know, so everybody's, well, they're coming in for Bethel. That's not true. There may be some, but the vast majority are coming up here for the quality of life, it sounds like. Or they have they have relatives here.
Well, a lot of people come up here because they do feel cramped. And it's like the CHP officer said, I don't want to see anybody's house. We sell a lot of 3-acre parcels with a home on it. And you come back, you know, 6 months later, and I, what's that fence there? Well, you know, I love having the privacy, and I like, you know, the solitary lifestyle. But he said, I don't want all that maintenance. So they short fence and whatever. But that's why they came up, is to have some acreage and have some room. And, you know, that's been going on for years, but we're seeing more and more of that.
Well, and I think the hard part too right now that we're running into is for first time home buyers and the young people that are trying to get in and buy a house for the first time. So to give you an idea, in terms within Reading, $250,000 or less listed on the market right now, there are 9 homes.
For $250,000.
I had one listed at 240, and within less than 24 hours I had 7 offers on it. And all but one were well over listed price.
Yeah. You know, and that, it's just not Reading. I read the other day in Carmichael in Sacramento, a gal listed a house on Friday, and by Sunday she had 122 offers on one house.
And how much was that house?
Well, it was listed at $349.5, and it ended up selling for $450, although there was an offer for $500. And, you know, it might have been owner carrier or whatever.
That's your town?
No, this was in Carmichael in Sacramento, 122.
Okay.
And then the same day I read in the Chronicle where a house in Berkeley sold for $1 million more than it was listed for. It was listed for 2.4 and sold for 3.4 in 4 days. Now, $1 million above list price, and generally you might, in today's market, you know, it's hard to put a number on these things because the benchmarks change every day with these closings.
Well, but $200 a square foot is...
Oh, it's long gone.
Oh, is that long gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're well above
you go down
that.
To the garden track, and those homes that were built in the 50s, those are all $200 a foot or more, the majority of them.
Because I asked you, like, yeah. 2 or 3 months ago, I said, well, how much, you know, and you said immediately $200 a square yeah. foot. So you're saying yeah. more now.
Then. Well, and then also for building, uh-huh. every single aspect of building. I know my nephew's ordering windows 10 weeks out. So that they'll be here when he's ready for them. All roofing supplies just went up April 1st, but lumber, you know, I think he closed a house less than 6 months ago, and he's building the same house, and the cost differential for the same house in that 6 months is almost $50,000. So, but yet they're still selling.
Of course.
Well, and just to give you an idea, and this is our report that we get monthly from our friends Bob and Tiffany Sprinkle at Sprinkle Appraisals, and they do a fantastic job not only on the appraisal side but of really putting together a comprehensive report that they get to us each month. And they break it down monthly but also quarterly. And, of course, we just had the end of the first quarter of 2021, and this is in 960010 and 03 zip codes in Reading. The average sales price was $370,000. The average price per square foot was $210, and for the first time, and I think this may be the first time this has ever occurred, they break it down by how old the house is, and for a house that's over 30 years old, 30 plus, we call it, $200.28 a foot. So we broke $200 a foot on average. Homes in the first quarter that were 30 years old or more.
And that's average. So
that's average. That's average.
Half sold for more and half for less. But,
yeah. Well, you've got some homes that are 30, 40 years old out there that are, you know, haven't been taken care of.
Exactly.
And then you've got others that, gosh, and that's $200.28
well,
a square foot.
Well, people are saying, average. My God, my house is worth this. I should maybe sell it. And then reality sets in. Where am I going to go? And if I buy something else, it's all relative.
Well, we know how much you told us we could get for our house. But yeah. then it's the same thing. We love this house.
Yeah.
And then where would we go in Reading? Because we're not leaving Reading.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have to. We had, this was perfect because we were close to the station when we first started because I was down here every day, you know, after hours, trying to figure out why somebody cut the red wire. But now, where would we go to?
Right.
I mean, and with the way Reading is growing.
Yeah,
and the way the downtown is going here, I mean, it's nothing but
this
good.
Is going to continue for a while. But,
you think so?
But keep in mind,
some point,
and 39 years doing this, what goes up can come down.
Well, remember
2006, 2007, we had those prices, and 4 or 5 years later, my home was worth 50% less.
Well, that was what happened when I just came back from Iraq, and Linda and I, she was going to sell the house, and we were going to move some other place. But in that 6 month period there, it had dropped so dramatically, we didn't do that. So now it's back up again. Anyway, it's a good time to refi.
The rates are still very good.
Yeah. And we're looking at that one real hard, and going for that. So everybody, I think what we're saying is, if you're interested, if you've even thought this is maybe the time to leave California for whatever reason, give House Realty a call here. And, you know, have them come out and take a look and give you an idea. And then do yourself a favor. Say, okay, then maybe I want to fleet up or fleet down. I like to, you know, I'm going to stop buying furniture and I'm going to go to a smaller place.
Or you're going to have to add on.
Or you have to add on. And that was,
yeah.
Thank you, by the way, for coming out and giving us our property line. So now we know what, God knows what it was, you know, before.
There are other two stories on the block.
Yeah, there are. No. Hey, thank you so much, Joyce and Bruce and Cameron, for coming in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
You know what? And House Realty is kind of like the dean of realtors here. I mean, you all have been doing this for, what, 58 years or something?
I think 56, going on 57 in the same location.
In the same location. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here today. On Monday, we're going to have the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect rolling in here. I think next week is a good, I don't know what day it'll be, but I'm going to pick a fight with somebody. And we'll just see what happens.
Glad we're getting out of here now.
Next week is a good, you know what? It's a good time to pick a fight before May.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.